All right. Well, so this is our first recorded episode of Life's Waning. I'm here with, are we using your real name?
Yeah.
All right. So, Carlos name. Danger.
That's close enough.
So I've got my good friend here, he graciously decided to accept my invitation to be on my first episode of my first podcast.
Yeah, probably a big mistake, but we'll see.
So, my friend Patrick, he's a old college roommate. How long have we known each other? About what, 25 years? No, 22 years.
Yeah, 22 this year.
Wow. Well, how time has flown. So, we've known each other since we were about 18, I guess.
Yep.
And we've were roommates for a couple of years. We lived next door to each other in the dorms for a couple of years. So all right. So, Patrick, you have an interesting, situation. You are 39 now, roughly around then.
Yeah, I'll be 40 in a week and a half.
That's right. So you're 40. And you recently got remarried. Your wife of 3 years now?
Shit.
We'll just say 3 years. We'll round it up.
No. It'll be five in October.
Five?
Five.
Wow. Yeah.
10/13/13.
Man, it flies. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess so. We were in this house for a year before we went to that. Yeah, okay. So almost 5 years with your wife, who is... not half your age, but quite a bit younger. Young enough to where we all call her jailbait.
Yeah. Yes. pretty close. It'll 11 years, depending on what time of year it is. 12 years at the most.
And you would, I guess, I would say she's probably way out of your league. Is that a fair assessment? She's for some reason it's like you're a 4 and she's a 10.
Four. Wow, that's giving me a lot more credit. It's probably like 2 and 12 is more like it. So yeah, she's way out of my league.
So do you okay, so how old is Kate now? She's 28 years old. So 28 and you're almost 40, so 12 years your senior or your junior. And how do you keep up? How does that work?
Lots of naps.
So this is interesting, actually. How many naps do you get a day?
Weekends or weekdays?
Weekdays.
Usually, I wake up. That's a long nap.
Yeah.
I take one at lunch pretty regularly.
And then after work?
Probably, probably, 7 out of 7 days.
So you sleep and you go to bed pretty early?
No, that I don't. Oh, okay. That's, 11:30 midnight up by 5:30 or so.
Okay. So you have a short evening nap, and then you have two naps throughout the day.
Yes. And sometimes my nap after work is longer than I sleep at night. So
and that's required to keep up with Kate.
Oh, absolutely.
So the other thing that's interesting is you guys do a lot of traveling.
Correct.
I mean, I'm lucky enough to have you here this weekend because you're usually jet setting around the world. All over Iceland, South Africa,
Maldives, Bali.
Do you ever just enjoy not traveling?
No. I mean, we make a lot of memories when we do travel, but it is nice to be back home and just kind of relax. But traveling is such a big part of our lives. It's amazing. So
Would you say Kate's more of an extrovert or an introvert, you think?
Oh, she's an extrovert.
She's an extrovert. What about you? Do you think yourself more of an introvert or an extrovert?
I think I'm more of an introvert.
Yeah, so when you've had enough and you want to just kind of relax.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amy and I are the opposite. I'm an extrovert and she's an introvert, and that creates some problems sometimes.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
And it's usually involving an eye roll.
I was going to say that's one thing that I've come to realize after being married for 6 years is the constant eye roll and the sound of disgust. I can't make that noise because I had surgery. I had that part removed from my throat, but that
along
sound.
With the other parts.
Yeah. So So one of the things, and we were talking about earlier today, so we just got back from the rodeo, so we're pretty exhausted, and that's going to timestamp this podcast. So if I drag ass and I don't get this out for another 2 months, you'll know that this took place in March. So, so we were talking about it while we were there, and one of the questions that I thought up of all of my own was, what is the biggest fight you and Kate have ever gotten into, and what was it about, and how did it end? We'll call it like since from when you met her till today, not before marriage or after marriage. What was the biggest fight?
Biggest, okay. What was the time frame again?
From when you first met her till now.
Oh shit.
Not just, you know, before you were married or after you were married. You guys mentioned something about shingles.
Yeah. It's probably about 3-4 years ago. We bought a new house and previous owners hadn't taken real good care of it, and we decided, hey, we're gonna replace the roof on it, and called up, you know, some contractors to have the roof replaced, and they brought over some shingle samples, colors, stuff like that, and I had narrowed it down to two of them. It was a slate and some other form of gray. I don't remember exactly what it was, so you know, I kind of had an idea of what I thought looked good, and I asked for her opinion, and she didn't really care. She couldn't tell the difference between the two, and I was pretty insistent that there was a difference between the two, but she couldn't. So
were you upset that she couldn't, were you just upset at the fact that she couldn't distinguish the color difference between the two tiles, or were you upset because she didn't care, or what was behind being upset?
It was yeah, both.
That she didn't care and she was being dismissive.
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, you know, I really don't give a shit. They look the same to me. And I'm like, how can you say they look the same? One of them's a slate and one of them was, I think it was darker. How can you not tell
the difference? One of them was slate and one of them was dark slate.
It was like dark slate and slate. So, you know.
And do you think she might be colorblind?
No, because when we go out and stuff, she'll pick out what I wear. Oh. So she'll match my shorts and my shirts.
We'll have to come back to that. That's a very interesting thing. We'll come back to that. I'm dying to know what a 28-year-old picks out for a 40-year-old to wear.
Well, I'm wearing it right now. So she picked it out tonight, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so we got into this. You know, it probably went on for a few days trying to figure out what color of shingle to put up on the roof, and finally she was just like, you know, I don't care, just pick one. I can't tell the difference. There's no difference between the two. And I was insistent, you know, that there was a difference. So we ended up with the slate. It looks good, and
well, nobody cares about the tile colors. So explain
shingle colors, not tile colors.
Oh, the tiles inside the house. I thought it was in the rooftop.
No, it's the roof shingles.
Okay.
So I got an eye roll.
It has an eye roll right there. So wow. So how long did that fight last? Was it like a 2-minute fight? Was it fight?
No, it was a couple days.
A couple of days.
Yeah, because the guy dropped off the samples. He's like, "Well, just let me know when you're ready. What color you want?" And I said, "All right, yeah, no problem. I'll let you know." And a couple days later, it was still going on, and I was still pretty sure that she could pick out a color, but it didn't turn out that way, and I just ended up making a decision in it. Yeah, it looks okay.
Wow. Okay, so you know.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's kind of the extent of our biggest argument.
That's interesting. That doesn't seem like a very big fight. What, I mean, was this something where you ended up sleeping on the couch, or has it never really gotten that bad?
No, it's never gotten that bad. I've never been on the couch.
Never?
No.
So I've never been on the couch either. I did offer to sleep in the guest bedroom one time because Amy and I were bitching about the air conditioner setting. Huh? Amy prefers to sweat. Mm-mm. In a hot box.
Hell no.
All night under like two blankets while she's wearing three layers of clothing. It's the most obnoxious thing in the world. I can't. So we got one of those new foam mattresses, you know, actually I think you and I have the same mattress, and it is not a cool mattress. It's one of those foam mattresses, memory foam, and it retains your body shape and every degree of heat, every BTU of heat that your body produces. It just sort of insulates, and it's extremely hot. So I didn't realize when you go to the mattress stores, like you lay on, I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is nice. It's nice and cool. It's nice. But they have the AC set to like 65 degrees exactly. in those mattress stores.
It's to make you comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then you sleep on them for like 5 minutes. You're like, oh yeah, this is perfect. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you get home, you sleep all night, and
you're fucking miserable.
You're miserable, and it's, yeah. you know, your wife likes it at 73 degrees. You know what's weird? So we get into fights about the air conditioning, but we keep Emma's side cold. So I have a 3-year-old daughter, and we keep her side of the house cooler because we know that it helps her sleep better. Why?
Well, they say like the ideal temperature is 65 or
65
like
to 68, exactly. And that those type of like specifications don't go over well with my wife. You give her specifications, no, that's a showstopper right there. She finds it, and she it's almost like you're being insulting or condescending. Which I mean, you know, it's I guess, but so we get in fights, and I actually offered to sleep in the guest bedroom because. She would keep it. I mean, 73 at the coolest in summertime. It's hot as shit, and then in the wintertime, she'll blast the heater. Like, we'll go to sleep. Have you ever been in somebody's house where they put the heater like at 70, 71? It's
suffocating.
It's yeah, and like I walk past an air vent that's blowing hot air. I'm like ah. It's like you're walking across a hair dryer all of a sudden. It's the most annoying thing in the world. Like, it's cold outside. It'll be a little cool inside. So, anyways, the 2 months of cool weather we have here in Houston or in Katy is the most comfortable I am because it's nice and cool outside and it keeps the house cool and I don't have to fight with the AC. But, yeah, I've never slept on the couch. I've never been asked to sleep on the couch. I've offered to sleep in the guest bedroom, and then that just pissed her off.
It's different when you're volunteering.
Yeah, I
think it pisses them off more when you volunteer.
I'm like, look, man, if you really don't want, I'll just go sleep in the guest bedroom. It's probably best for both of us. yeah, no, that doesn't go over too well.
So at all.
No, absolutely not. So, no, but, you know, and I were talking about, so Amy and I have had some pretty big we've had a couple of big fights. You know, the first one, and I told you guys over at the rodeo, the first one was we were still dating. We were living in San Antonio, and we were coming back from dinner. And we used to, I mean, our apartments, her condo and my apartment, they weren't too far away from each other. But since I did most of the cooking, we would actually stay at my place for the most part. In the beginning, we stayed a lot at my place. And then after the first couple of months or weeks, we stayed at her place more. But, we practically moved in after the first week of meeting each other. We pretty much moved in with each other. I had made a comment. We were coming back from dinner, and... I remember what it was. She said... She made a comment about, well, we both have nice apartments, so I don't know whose we would pick to live in. And I was like, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves there. And she pulled the old, excuse you? And I'm like, what's the problem? And she goes, well, what do you mean? So I meant, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, my wife is... she's very smart. She's very intuitive. She sees big picture things.
She's very tolerant.
She's very tolerant, yeah. But she sees big picture things. And you know, we're both engineers, so we're detail-oriented people. We see the very minute specifics. And in my brain, I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't want to fucking move, like, right now. Like, I have shit going on this weekend. I have a gig. I can't just move this weekend.
It's just
this
not
weekend.
A good time.
Not a good time. Like, maybe next weekend.
Maybe, yeah.
But in her mind, she's thinking, well, you don't ever want to move in. What the hell are we doing? And so we got in this big, big, big fight. And it helped that she understood my personality so she could, you know, come around. But it was a little frustrating because, again, I'm thinking immediate. Like, right now, I don't want to pack up my shit right now. Like,
right.
Whose dining table are we going to use? And she's like, who gives a fuck? Like, you don't want to live with me? What the fuck am I doing? Why am I wasting my time? So that was one of the biggest fights we got into early on. The next biggest fight we got into. So when you and Kate had that was when you were married. What about before you were married? Did you have any significant fights before marriage?
Yes, we did. We had a pretty big one. There's a couple of them, actually. One of them happened at Buffalo Wild Wings.
So did you have like a scene?
it was kind of on. It was a quiet scene. It wasn't, you know, the whole restaurant wasn't staring at us.
It was like a white people scene. It wasn't like it wasn't like a couple of Italians where you throw the plate of spaghetti against the wall.
No, it wasn't that bad. I don't remember what set that one off. And then the second one was really bad. I got home. I think I was from a softball game. The words that came out of her mouth were, "Pack up your shit and get the fuck out of here." And I was like, wow, what did I do? And I finally found out.
You didn't even remember what you did?
No, I remember, but I'm not gonna go into those details.
But you knew right then and there, you didn't figure out what it was right then and there, which is to pack up your shit and get out.
I had a pretty good idea.
Oh, what was it? Did you forget to flush the toilet?
No. It was far worse than that. So we'll just leave it at that.
All right. We don't want to go there. Okay.
Well, no, I'm not going to go there.
Right, I won't push.
But yeah, that was bad. And a lot of my shit ended up in a trash bag.
Really?
Yeah. And I managed to
bridge those troubled waters.
Yeah, I managed to smooth that one over.
Wow.
It's been bliss ever since that, because I knew what...
You knew what the threshold... Well, see, that's the thing.
I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, well, you need to know... See, that's the thing. Like, we need to know what the threshold is. Like,
oh, yeah, and I hit that threshold.
Now, yeah, like, what's the line? What exactly is the line?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, the fight. So, let me ask you this. What do you think is going to be... How long before... Kate finds you to be too old? When are you going to start doing like the Just for Men and all that stuff?
No Just for Men, because I don't care for that crap, to be honest with you. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but you know, I'm gray. I have a few miles on me. I'm proud of it. I'll show it off. But for her, that's a really good question.
Yeah. When is she going to be ready to trade in for a newer model?
She's probably already. No, I don't think she ever will. I hope she never will. Granted, she probably has a little bit more spring in her step than I do.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, I think she's happy. I'm happy. I don't think she'll ever really truly think I'm too old.
So between the two of you guys, are you guys both pretty young at heart? I mean, yeah, for the most part, you guys get along. I mean, you do just about the same thing all the time.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say young at heart, actually. I think we balance each other out pretty well.
Yeah.
She's actually an old soul. So she's very mature for her age, very, very wise, has a good head on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. So we kind of meet halfway. I don't have a very good head on my shoulders. I'm, you know, kind of
childish.
Kind of childish at times, especially around... This Joker next to me. Yeah. He brings out the best in people.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think
or the worst.
Yeah, I think you know, I get credit for that sometimes. I get other friends get credit for other friends get credit for being the bad influence on me. I mean, so we ran in the same circles in college and we have a lot of the same friends, and so yep. I don't want to, you know, throw out any names or anything, but we all know the one guy that really, 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 really just brings the worst out of all of us, and it's not a good situation. I think last time he was in town, he downed a case of hams, and he's just, So what was Kate's impression of our good friend?
Wow.
Yeah, so there we go.
I don't want an answer for
but
her.
But I think Kate even mentioned, like, I'm a bigger asshole whenever he's around us.
Well, yeah, you could ask anybody that. Amy probably thinks that. Indy, the dog, probably thinks that.
But you know, I think all of us kind of feed off each other in some way, in some form or fashion.
We do.
And it's I guess when we all met when we were 18 years old, mm-hmm. and we've been friends for so long since then. I mean, do you ever really grow up from friends like that?
I don't think so.
Especially, like, you know, we were all thrust into college and pretty far away from home. It was a big thing. So.
Well, and I think you always revert back to, you know, the times you spent together and the way you fucked off then, and it's what you're used to, and it's you know,
it just happens. So okay, so I gotta think, you know, what about, so let's talk about some I don't know if this is off the table or not, but relationships from way before even marriage, like in college, I never really dated anybody in college.
No, I didn't either. I don't know, being in engineering, it was
the same five girls. Remember that? Like
five. Wow, you must have seen something I didn't
see. No, it was the same from our freshman class.
Oh, yeah. The ones that didn't drop out or get, you know.
I thought there was five. One,
two, three. Yeah, that's probably pretty close. One of them may have been.
Questionable. Well, the softball player.
Yeah, the longer you look, you're like, that could be, no.
I think there was five. There was the blonde, the brunette. Right? Wasn't there like a good-looking blonde girl, a brunette? There's a not-so-good-looking blonde girl. I'm being an asshole here saying all this. Those three. Maybe there's only three.
That could have been.
Maybe three or four. And the thing is, all right, so we went to school in the 90s. We're in the engineering program. And now it's a lot of, I think it's different now. I think there's more women in technical fields now, but.
I think it is. There is.
But at the time, I don't remember really having a lot. We had some pretty fun roommates or fun neighbors.
Good friends.
Yeah, good friends. What are the troubles that we get into in college? What's worth mentioning? What's worth documenting? Want all this? Do I want all this documented?
That was all by the book. It was school, well, school.
7 years. I mean, order. What is it called? Yeah, isn't that the? Not something in statutory. No, what is the? It doesn't count anymore. What is it? I have to edit all this shit out. It
doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, like if a crime happened more than seven years. Statute of limitations.
Statutory, dude.
Not statutory.
It's way different.
Like, whoa. I didn't say that. You said that.
I don't think that ever goes away.
No. Statute of limitations. Statute of limitations. It didn't count. If it happened back then, it didn't count.
Yeah, that was 2 decades ago.
I don't know if I want to air out any of my dirty secrets from college. Maybe not yet. We'll push that for another podcast episode. So all right. So where do you see yourself? And do you and Kate want to have kids? Do you want to just keep traveling and living life like your 20s? What are you thinking?
Right now, priority is traveling.
Traveling.
It's traveling right now. We've talked about kids, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's on the radar.
You'd rather just mooch off of ours, our Emma.
Well, yeah, because
when you're done, you
just come back.
Yeah, Emma, Amy puts her to bed, cleans her up.
I don't have to clean. I don't have to clean up. I don't have to bathe her. I don't have to feed her.
Well, she's almost at the age where she can wipe her own ass. Almost.
It's pretty close.
I'll tell you what. When that day comes, oh man, that's a good time. That's a good day.
That'll be nice.
I mean, she can go pee and poo by herself, but she needs help wiping her ass. I think that's like one of the last big milestones. I know, I say that. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
And that just doesn't sound appealing, having somebody else's.
It's funny. I used to think
even
that
if it's
too.
Yours.
Nah, I'll tell you what. I used to think that too. Like I've had nieces and nephews. I'm like,
I can't even clean my dog's ass, dude.
I don't clean my dog's ass. She licks her own ass. But
mine doesn't. He drags it on the carpet, and then somebody has to take care of it.
I do have to tell Annie not to do that. she does that all the fucking time. No, she does it all the time, but we catch her like, no, don't do that.
Oh, man, my dog went like 2 feet across the carpet the other night. I didn't see it, unfortunately, but my wife caught it, and she wasn't none too pleased. I find it entertaining because it takes a lot of skill to do that.
That is absolutely disgusting.
I would try, but I'd hurt something.
When you're a parent, I guess, there's all these big milestones that you come across, but, I remember before I was worried about having to wipe asses and all this and other. To be honest, when it's your own kid, you don't give a shit.
So it's different when you have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a very good point.
If you have an option, you're not going to do it. But if you have to do it, then you're like, well, shit, I have to do it.
That's right. Yeah, there's nothing else you can do. Fuck it. I guess I'm just doing this right now.
Got no other choice than.
Yeah. I wish I would have prepared more for like different fights and arguments. It really. It's you know, like I said, usually, you know, we get into them. I identify the situation or identify the problem early, and apologize, and then pretty much
do it again the next day.
Not the next day. I mean, it happens
the
again.
Next week.
Well, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, but that's like, I mean, that's the way, you know, it's not like women don't do things that piss us off on a regular basis. I mean, it happens.
It's no, it doesn't. Not
sure,
to me.
Sure it doesn't. Mm-mm. Blink twice if you're lying. You just blink twice.
No blinking.
No, it's blink twice right there.
Hey, my eyes are dry. No, they're open so wide.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much blink twice. I need a little water break here. So, one thing that I do find that helped before is actually, you know, the other thing is like Amy doesn't really drink anymore. She's ever since she tried to get pregnant, she stopped drinking. It's amazing. My wife, she stopped drinking wine and she stopped drinking coffee. How the fuck she managed to survive without drinking coffee is beyond me.
And still put up with him.
And still put up with me. That I don't understand how anybody could do. I my hat's off to her. You know, we're gonna start a little diet in a couple of weeks, and Amy is much better at following rules. I don't follow rules for shit. I don't even follow my own rules. So we're getting ready to start a diet, and I'm sure she's gonna kick ass at it, and I'm gonna fail miserably. But it's amazing. She gave up the wine and coffee, and I think she might have had withdrawals for maybe a week from the coffee, and that was it.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, but you know, but you know, Kate doesn't exactly drink a lot. Neither do you, really.
No, not really.
I mean, I could see how alcohol can help relationships and, you know, numbing the pain.
Yeah, but it also causes a lot of problems.
Does it? You think?
I think it could.
It can. Yeah. Well, you know, like the Irish, those guys, they drink and suppress all their feelings. You just want to kind of drink, and then the whiskey, like, it pushes everything and compresses it into their stomach.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
And then they don't get mad, and that's just it. That's just the way they are. And they, I mean, eventually have heart attacks, but, you know,
yeah,
you got to die sometime.
But they're not mad.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's been about 20 minutes. I think so. A little bit more than 20 minutes. So we'll keep this as a short little podcast. We might have to pick up some more conversations later about different. Do you have any other stories or interesting situations where you've gotten into fights? Because I'll tell you right now, with the shingle thing, like, that one I would have let go. That one I would have been like, fuck it, you don't know the difference, I'll pick. But
no.
You're gonna get mad at me. But why? If it's something that's just big, it's not like it's
that's
not
a big decision.
The roof tiles?
Color.
Yeah, but you don't see your roof. You see your roof for 3 seconds when you pull into the house. See,
I can see my roof when I pull into my kind of round in my mailbox area. I can mm-hmm. see my roof and I look at it and I'm like, oh, there's my roof. It looks good.
And how long of the day do you spend looking at your roof? About every day, about 3 seconds, 4 seconds?
Probably 10 to 15 seconds.
So so when I was in college, you remember this, I had a yellow Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool looking car. But one thing I realized early on is the outside of the car sure did look cool. But as the driver, you don't see the outside. You only see the inside. And that's when I really realized early on, the inside of the car, the interior, is where you're going to see all the time. 100%
the majority of it, yeah.
Majority of the time you see the inside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
How it looks aesthetically, how it feels, how it's comfortable, how comfortable is it. Just the overall aesthetics. And I'm not going to lie, cars in the late 90s weren't the best to look at in the inside.
No.
There's a lot of curves, a lot of excessive curves,
yeah.
Bubbles and round things, and the late 90s wasn't the best. but something like a roof tile, who gives a shit? You're going to see it for 3 seconds, 15 seconds a day.
Hey, you know, the funny thing is we painted the whole inside of our house.
Yeah.
We painted most of the rooms when we moved in, and we painted the rest of the house here within, I think, the last year and a half or so. I didn't give a shit about the colors inside of the house as much as I cared about the...
Why?
I don't know.
You see the inside all the time. That's what you look at. Right now, I'm looking at these, like, neutral colored walls that were painted when we bought the house.
Yeah, that roof, for something about that roof tile, it had to be perfect.
That... And okay, so it had to be perfect, but why did it matter if she cared? Not that I'm not taking your side. Obviously, I'm taking your side. We both have penises, so we're you know, I'm going to be on your side on this one. But I like it sounds like in that particular instance, you were the one instigating the fight.
That's probably true. Because
why would you do that?
I couldn't come to grips with the fact that
she didn't care.
She didn't. A, she didn't care, and B, she couldn't tell the difference between the two colors because it was obvious.
So I think if I had it like if I had it been like that movie Borat, where like the suit is gray. Well, it's blue. No, it's gray. Like if it's like something like, look, babe, I don't know if you understand or not, but like it's fucking slate, and she's like, no, it's gray. Like if it's really that she couldn't tell the difference, I guess. But I think I might have let that way. I mean, let me ask you this: were you about ready to tell her to pack her shit and get the fuck out?
No. We would have gotten past that. We got past that, but no.
Can't tell if it's gray or slate, so pack your shit and get the fuck out.
No way. It was nowhere close to that level. Definitely not.
Okay. Oh, I mean, again, so that seemed like a self-inflicted wound.
It probably was. I probably deserved it.
I guess it's important just to keep things on an even keel.
Yes.
You don't want to make it too easy. So is there any other fights you want to get off your chest, or you want to share, or you want to give us some insight on how you were able to? Because, I mean, that fight, since you got into it, I mean, or since you instigated it, I mean, win or lose, it didn't matter. I mean, I guess you win no matter what. But,
right.
But are there any, do you have any secrets or any tips on how to get out of losing an argument or losing a discussion with your wife? Because at the end of the day, it's all about winning and losing. I mean, we all know that.
Probably keeping my mouth shut is the easiest thing. That gets me out of probably the most trouble.
So let me ask you, this is something I've brought up to our friend, our friend Des. And when you and Kate are arguing and you know you're right, do you find yourself not saying anything at all? Just keeping quiet? If you know you're right?
No, I think I try to.
You try and.
I think I try to prove my point.
You try and prove your point.
And just drive it home that, look, think about it. It's right. I'm right. This is how it is.
And you think that's a good thing?
No.
Yeah. Does it ever work out?
Oh, hell no.
So.
And then I end up being wrong somehow. So.
Yeah. So what I've learned, and you'll probably get there in a year or so, is normally when Amy and I are arguing. And I know I'm right, and I have like empirical data to back up that I'm right.
Years of research.
Research and just empirical, not theoretical, empirical mm-hmm. data that I'm correct. It does no good to win that argument. That is a lose-lose situation. Because even if I prove my point and then have the data to back it up to vindicate me, it makes it worse.
It does.
So, what I find myself doing is I shut down and I keep quiet, and it's like when you're in a small sailboat or small craft and there's a big storm coming, you hunker down, you close all the hatches, and you wait for it to, you know, lower the sails, and you wait for it to pass.
Then you come out.
Come back out, raise the sails, and on you go.
Right.
So. I think so. I've gone sailing like 3 times, so I consider myself an expert at that too. So there'll be a lot of sailing references. So I find myself whenever I'm in an argument with my wife, and I know I'm right, and I can back it up, and all this, I realize there's no point. There's no good reason to win that argument, because even if I win that argument, I'm gonna lose.
So
I'm going to lose.
Has she ever asked you, why aren't you saying anything?
I do enough like vocal gestures, like I do, you know,
So you're condescending.
Now you said that, not me.
Question mark again. There was no period.
No, you're saying, no, I wouldn't say I'm condescending. I would just, I engage, but non-verbally.
Okay.
And because what I find is like, again, she never really, no, but she, to answer your question, no, she doesn't ask, why aren't you saying anything? Say something. I have a lot of friends in the same exact situation. So ladies, there's probably three of you that are listening to this podcast besides my wife.
There's two now.
There's two now. If you're arguing with your man and he stops arguing, he just becomes quiet. It's because he's right. He knows he's right, and he knows proving you wrong will just make it worse.
We're down to one now.
So just understand, and again, that's not a theory, guys. That's the way it is. When your man stops, because it's what is that survival instinct? You know, your fight or flight kind of thing. You're only gonna fight. You're only gonna argue to save your neck when you know it needs to be saved. If you know you're right, when you're righteous, you don't have to fight. You don't have to. The righteous don't pontificate. You know, that's just, they know they're right, and that's it. You don't have to argue. You don't have to discuss it. You don't have to debate. You don't have to educate somebody on why you're right. You just quiet down, shut down, let the storm pass, and after the storm has passed, then again, you raise the sails and on you go.
Huh.
So you'll get there eventually. And this is one of my observations. Like I said, I have other friends that have been married for many, 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 many years. And same thing, you know, the wives are always, oh, every time I get mad at so-and-so, he just stops talking. It's probably because he's fucking right. So it's just, again, why prove your point if one tile is slate and one tile is dark gray? What good can come out of winning that argument?
There really wasn't.
Exactly.
I don't even think I won.
Even though there's two fucking different colors, you're still not going to win that argument. So it's best to just
let it go.
Yeah. So, anyways, well, you know what? I think that all that dirty laundry is out in the open now. So I think we can wrap up this episode. So what do you think? Did you have fun?
I had a great time. I hope everybody else listening had a great time. And I think we just lost that last female listener.
So do you think your wife would like to be a guest on the show?
I don't know. No, not with you. Probably not.
We'll have to have somebody else. Maybe we'll do one with Amy and her, and that's it.
That might be better.
I'm pretty sure the whole time she's gonna be asking, "How does Amy put up with you?"
And she says that to us when we go home.
She's like, "God, how the hell,
Amy? How does she do it?"
I don't
she
know.
She has the kid, and then she has Emma.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't know how she does it either. I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate, I'm still learning as I go. But again, yeah, the quieting down during an argument thing, ladies, remember that if your partner does that, I'm not gonna say 1,000%, but it's like 99% that you're wrong and he's right, and he just knows that there's no way to win, even if he proves that he's right. So.
And Lenny said.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Patrick. I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That was good. Yeah, we'll do this again sometime. So
heck yeah.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody, for listening. All right. That's it.